said it together. Our Father, this morning, we stand together in faith, mutually, to receive revelation that is found in your Son. Our eyes are open to behold Him, glorified, exalted, and living within us. We see Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified, we are edified. Amen! Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, we continue on the integrity of the word. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 1:1. Alright, come on. God, who has sundry times in diverse manners spoken time past to our fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken to us in His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the world. Now, observe something that the writer of Hebrews, by saying this, he makes a distinction in the Old Testament in what God said. Many times we feel that the moment it said, God said, in the Old Testament, it's an utterance of God. But it's not so. We've done that study a bit, I believe. And he said, in those days, God's word in the Old Covenant, that's the books of the Old Covenant now, Genesis to Malachi, they were in bits and pieces. That's what he's saying. So, not everything you find there is God's word. There are statements about God, but not everything was said by God. There are statements about God. There are assumptions about God. And next week, we're going to be looking at prosperity. And we're going to look at that. Does God prosper people? Now, don't get scared. You know, someone told me, he said, there's some subjects I don't want you to talk about at all, because I may have to change my position. Well, you have to, if you have to, if it's the word of God. So, but, you know, you need to look at it and then see what he's saying. That God, at sundry times and diverse manners. And you see, the essence of the local church, let me mention this, because we have a book on that coming out shortly. The local church, I've said this many times, must never try to play a role not given to it by God. And that's true. You know, on Wednesday, we looked at when Paul says the pillar and ground of truth. We have our own truth that we must uphold. We mustn't mix our identity with the world. We are a Bible study family. That's what we are. We must uphold that truth. We're not for commercial truths, scientific truths, health truths. No. There are truths in their light, in their different worlds. Or medical truths. We are for Christ's truth. And we focus on that. He said, without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16. We said that word controversy means a common confession. Great is the mystery of godliness. God made manifest in the flesh. That's our truth. That's the truth that we must be a pillar and ground for. Not nation building. No. Nation building is good. If you're interested in that, it's fine. But our truth must be our truth. And we don't renovate truth. We don't innovate it. We keep at it. We must keep hearing about Christ. I told someone on Saturday, yesterday, I said the moment forgiveness of sins and redemption from sins no longer brings joy from you, there's a problem. That means you are feeding on something else. You could be feeding on the works of the law or self-performance. You could be feeding on financial abundance and stuff like that. But you see, the moment eternal life is not getting you off your seat, there's a problem. And that's why Jesus told that church, he said, you have left your first love. Your first love is the love of God for you. Proton agapo. You've left it. You've abandoned it. It looks like it's too elementary. No, it's not elementary. The elementary truth of Christianity is the basic truth, is the most important truth about it. Hallelujah. Is there not more? Is there not more? God loves me. God loves me. He gave His Spirit to me. Is there not more? Tell me more. Seven dimensions to earthly projection. No, we stick to that truth. So, let's get back to this. So, he says, God spoke in His Son. And we said, we made a distinction there, that verse 1 was prophet speaking. Verse 2 is God speaking. We said that in the last two times we shared this. Then he said, He is the heir of all things. And heir of what now? The heir of the prophecies that they gave. Is the heir of the prophecies that they gave. Look at verse 14. We'll build it from there. Verse 14 says, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, the word ministering there is from the word lutego in the Greek. It means to wait on someone, like in the temple, where you are waiting in the temple to offer on behalf of someone or to attend to someone's needs. So he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth, watch this now, to minister for them who shall be heirs? Now, who shall be heirs of salvation? Who are those who shall be heirs? That is, they will take possession of salvation. Now, that's not you and I. We are not to be heirs of salvation. Now, pay attention to this now. Now, he builds his case. He says, are they not all ministering spirits? Why did he say that? Because he wanted to put a disclaimer to the authority of the words of angels. He said that earlier. He said, look, he made him better than angels. So which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? He said, none of them. See, on my right, he said, none. None of the angels. So he said, are they not all ministering spirits? That's what they are. Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So, chapter 2, verse 1, I've told you, don't read your Bible in what? Verses. Read it in what? Paragraphs. Because the person who wrote the letter didn't put verses. In normal comprehension, comprehension, composition, English language, secondary school, isn't it? Am I right? I did English in my law degree, but it was my first year. I can't remember what they taught us. But I think it's composition, comprehension, and what else? Combustion. Oh, I see. when you write, oftentimes, I think it was secondary school, they put together a story, they say you should arrange it. Have you done that before? You did not do it. Hey, loss of Nigerian youth. No, please just take that out of context. Come on. if you did, that means a basic grammar study will make sure that you put the right things. That means in your paragraphs, you put the elements of the same concept together. Right? Then you separate them. I concede that those who put verses in the Bible ought to have made it paragraphs. The verses are highly misleading. I told you, putting numbers on those letters is an interpretation of the person who did it. So I usually disregard it. So I say, you are changing the word of God. Yes. So let's continue the discussion on angels. He goes to chapter 2 verse 1. He says, therefore what? Oh, come on. If I say therefore, because they are servants. Alright? We ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time, what happens? We should drift away. Pay attention here now. Four. So four is still, are we still continuing it? Now, do you agree that it's wrong to put chapter 2 where it was? Who agrees with that? You agree with that? Because it's still a continuing discussion. Angels are not sons, neither are they prophets. They are servants to wait on you, not to speak to you. Come on. Not to give you direction. Angels are not called to reveal God. They are servants. So he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them, not let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels, did he tell you the content? Did he tell you the content? If the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now, in chapter 1, he had made a distinction between Jesus and angels. Right? He had said, God spoke through angels? Huh? Did God speak in angels? Did God speak through angels? Did he speak through the prophets? Did he speak in his son? Who are angels? Servants. To wait. To wait on those whom God spoke to. Come on, guys. Are you following this? So he goes further saying now, he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's the law. How shall we escape if we neglect so great what? Wait now. Who are the heirs of salvation? Man. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which was spoken by who? Angels? No. So, did angels carry the message of salvation? Huh? Could they have carried the message of God's character? No. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Is verse 3 the gospel? Is verse 2 the gospel? Is verse 2 the gospel? So, verse 3 is verse 3 telling us to take our eyes away from what angels said. Huh? And take heed to what who said? Jesus. Who's following this? Come on. Is that very clear? Alright, so he says, and God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Look at verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. So, is this a disclaimer on angels? Huh? Not on their ministry, but on their message. Does this make sense? Come on guys, does this make sense to you? So, in other words, the integrity of the word of God is found in the prophecies about Christ. And in Christ himself. You need to get that. But the Old Testament, we had almost a whole dispensation of angels. Free flow. But he's saying here that we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things about Christ. Are you following this? Are you following this? And where are we going to get that? Hebrews 1:1. Spoke to our fathers by who? The prophets. Or the prophets who spoke to our fathers. Not by angels. And you know, angels are learners. Remember. Again, in the book of Revelation. I've showed you that over and over again. There was a time that one of the 24 elders, Revelation 5, who said that, well, what did he see? He said, well, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. It was not the Spirit of God who said that. The Spirit of God cannot call Jesus a lion. A lion in a new covenant is not a positive adjective. It's used for the devil or for persecutors. And so there was an assumption because Jesus was now a king, he will be a lion. And then it was now corrected, no, he is the Lamb.
not of any tribe. He's the Lamb of God for the whole world. Now, the fellow who said the Lion of the tribe of Judah was a Jew. I would say the same thing. Lion of the tribe of Jebu. You know, but he was wrong. And he was corrected. Remember again, Revelation 22. When the angel said, I come with my reward in my hand. He that is righteous, be righteous still. He that is unrighteous, be unrighteous. It was not Jesus who said it. Because Jesus cannot say, if you're unrighteous, be unrighteous still. Well, he died for your sins. He calls all men to what? Believe. So you must stay close and make a distinction. And I've done that study for us over and over again on how to carefully weigh what angels have said. Is that very clear? God is not revealed in angels. He's revealed in his Son. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So don't say, he's the Lion and the Lamb. He's not the Lion and the Lambo. That is a bipolar disease. He is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did I explain this? When Jesus said, for example, be as wise as serpents. Have we explained that before in the service? We have. Let's look at it. Matthew 10. Come on. We have explained this before. Look at it. Sometimes the challenge is the syntax or syntax, as we say it in grammar. Matthew 10, verse 16. Hallelujah. 16. Behold, watch this. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Opposites, right? Is that opposites? Okay. Be therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How can he tell you to be as wise as serpents? He can't tell you to be as wise as serpents because in Luke 10:19, he says he gave you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Satan is called serpent. Revelation 12:9. The serpent, the devil. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3. Mark 16. In my name you cast out devils. You will take up serpents. So why would you use serpent for a believer? It's a syntax problem. That is, the arrangement of words. In other words, King James is wrong in here. What he said, and I've done this study for you before. How many can remember I've done this study for you before? Okay, let me do it again. So he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore, alright, not be ye therefore, because there was a choice of words here. Watch this. He said, in the midst of wolves, who therefore as wise as serpents, not you, but you be harmless as those. So it's the persecutors that are called wolves and serpents, and the believer is to be as a sheep and as a dove. Is that consistent with Bible theology? Not you be serpent. You can be. Serpent is negative. Serpent is subtle, crafty, not a believer. So sometimes it's the arrangement of words. Just like, forgive so that your heavenly Father will forgive you. No. Forgive just as your heavenly Father forgives you. You see, old Greek didn't make that distinction. So context, I've told you that a million and one times. Context is what determines the use of words. Context. So, we are not to be as serpents. We are to be as gentle, harmless. Serpents are harmless. Serpents are crafty and subtle. But those, they are harmless. The sheep there, you know, follows the shepherd, obedient. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, good. Let's get back to scripture. Wait. All right, Hebrews 2. Then is something? Look at this now. But in one certain place, testify, saying, verse 5, 6, what is man that you are mindful of him, nor the son of man that you visit him?
You made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crown him with glory and honor. And he set him over the works of your hands. Watch this one now. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So, he's making a distinction between the ministry of angels and the ministry of Christ. Look at verse 16. For verily, he says, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So that means that Hebrews 1 and 2, allow us to use that at this time, was to make a distinction between the ministry of Christ and who? Huh? So whose ministry should we take heed to? Christ or angels? Who reveals God? Christ or angels? Is that very clear? Okay, that's what he does. So the integrity of God and his word will be found in whose words? Is God bound to keep the words of angels? No. He's bound to keep the words about Christ. Those are his words. Those are the things that were uttered by his spirit. Angels are ministering spirits. And Paul says that they are learning the wisdom of God. In fact, Paul says that God was made manifest in the flesh. He was seen of angels. Peter says that the angels desire to look into the gospel. So angels are subservient to man. You need to realize that. Angels act according to man's ignorance or knowledge. That's why you discover that there was almost an absence of the ministry of angels when Jesus was around. It reduced. You saw angels before he was born, while he was born. You saw angels the moment he began his ministry, after John acknowledged him and he left the wilderness. Angels were almost not available again. Till his death. And look at the book of Acts. The ministry of angels was so minimal. Not that they were not working, but they were not giving out messages. Who's following what I'm saying here? You understand that? They weren't giving out messages. The first one who tried to give a message. Okay, one said, go and speak to these people the words of life. Acts 5, to Peter. The other one said to Peter again, he said, arise, kill and eat. Thou shalt not call what God has sent uncommon. In a very harsh tone. How can you say an animal to kill and eat? The guy didn't understand what he was saying. But until the Spirit spoke to him. You know? And then Acts 27. And when the angel appeared to Paul, and he said to Paul, no life shall be lost, but just a sheep. Notice, they were limited in speaking about God. Why? The revelation of God has been given now in Christ. Who's following what I'm saying here? You want to follow this? So, you must understand that it was ignorance that made angels preachers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But now that the Spirit has been given, that aspect of their ministry was not even in their ministry. That borrowed toga, borrowed garment. What else do we call it? Borrowed pose. If you're not Nigerian, you know the borrowed pose has been taken off. Hallelujah. God gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. Still out there? So if you are still getting angels speak to you in dreams, while are they? The angels tell you. But the one that have wings. You know, all angels in Nigeria have wings. The ones in the Bible don't have, but the ones in the Bible. You see, that's your mother-in-law. She the witch. You know, their church is built on such crap. Everybody is satanic. Everybody is a witch. In Africa, witch wizard. No, witches are more. And they divide homes. Because by the time they start describing the enemy of your soul, of your destiny, even in church, you look at the next person behind you. Going to speak in tongues loudly. I'm surrounded by fire. There was someone who went to visit a church member's house
And she got him there. They came from the same church. And she got him there before that one got to the seat. To welcome her, sorry. She just anointed the place. She said, what is the fire of the Holy Ghost here? Who called you to come? She sat down. As she was also leaving, the person anointed the place. Father, every confused people. So we said, God spoke through men. And we identified, the other week, we identified Abraham. Can you remember that? Abraham, in Genesis 20, verse 7, was called a prophet. Again, who is a prophet? Is the word Nabi, N-A-B-I, in the Hebrew, a spokesperson. A spokesperson. So Abraham was a prophet. He was a prophet. Not a ministering spirit, but a prophet. One who spoke on behalf of God. He spoke on behalf of God. So when he speaks, he will use the first person pronoun for God. I. When you hear, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. It's Abraham who said that on behalf of who? God. Is that clear? Is that very clear? How did God communicate to them? The Spirit of Christ which was in them. They testify of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So Abraham was the one who said that. Well, pay attention now. So Abraham was a prophet of God. And so we will look at the words of Abraham and then look at God's integrity in what God or Abraham said by the Spirit of God. Let's observe something. Go back to Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Talking about Christ. So we're going to find that in the words of Abraham. We need to look at the types and shadows, as it were, and the progressive revelation of Christ in the words of Abraham. So look at Hebrews 11. Learning something? Right now. Hebrews 11. So Abraham was a prophet. We're going to identify other people who were prophets in a moment. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Give me your ears now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is now. The word now is not in the Greek. Again, this is a problem because those who made this a chapter have created a false doctrine. Because the discussion was from chapter 10. The just shall live by faith. He's describing the Old Testament saint who looked forward to Christ's coming. Chapter 10, look at it. Chapter 10. He's describing the Old Testament saint. He says in verse 36, you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He's quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, where Habakkuk said, write the vision upon the table. So he that runs it will read it. The vision is but for an appointed time. Alright? It will tarry and not tarry. And you see, the Hebrew translators, some of them picked the word it, whereas it should be he will tarry. Yet he will not tarry. Are you following what I'm saying? Because what Habakkuk was talking about was Christ coming. So he says, so that he that runs will read it. That's why he now said, the just shall live by what? Faith. In other words, the just shall wait for him. The just shall wait for him. So faith to the Old Testament saint about the coming of Christ is hope. Who's following what I'm saying in here? So he's describing the Old Testament fellow. The just shall live by faith. The just man of the Old Testament, he will live by faith. Then he says, now, what is now? Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's the Old Testament saying. The Old Testament men, sorry. Then he says in 39, we are not of them that draw back to perdition. Well, hold on now, look up. Who are the them that draw back to perdition? Those in the Old Testament that did not believe the gospel. We are not of them. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Those who believe the gospel. Remember? Hebrews 4:2 says, the gospel that was preached to us was preached unto them, but was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And God, or the prophet, spoke to the fathers about God in the Old Covenant. Hebrews 1:1. They spoke about Christ. Did everybody believe? Did everybody believe? Some believed, some did not. But we are of them that what? We are not of them that what? Drew back. Let me see if you understand that. Is that clear enough? So he says, having said that, we are of them that believe to the saving of a soul. So faith, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whose faith? Ours or theirs? Ours or theirs? Is it sensible now? Alright. So their faith, it causes the substance, the hypostasis. Alright? The hypostasis of things. I told you the word things there is the word pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A. Taken from praso. P-R-A-S-S-O. It is something done, an event, or an experience. So their faith is substantiated, alright, or substantiate actions hoped for. Events not seen. Not houses not seen. Or cars not seen. Because those guys had houses. Come on. Come on now. They had lands. But they were expecting actions. The action wasn't their action. The action of Christ. The evidence of actions not seen. Because he that will come, will come. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Is there? He that will come, will come. It's not a scripture for believing for a car, a job, a visa. No. It's a text that explains the integrity of God's word in the Old Covenant about salvation and the resurrection from the dead. Follow this one now. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now I need your attention here. I explained this last week and we'll go over it again. He says, the elders obtained a good report. Again, I found translators say the elders were commended. No, I disagree. And I remember I told one of the translators of one of these new versions, and he said he saw my point. I disagree. That's not right. That's not what the writer said. Because he says, by it, the elders obtained a good report. Look at the word report. It is the word martureo. M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. It's a verb. Here. It's to be a witness. A verb. You shall be witnesses unto me. Something like that. So, by it, the elders. Let me use a better translation. The elders bore a good report. Or gave a good report. By faith. They gave a good report. It's not that people commended them. No. Because their work, Hebrews 1:1, was to speak about who? Christ. And so they spoke about Christ by what? Faith. So they spoke about Christ by faith. By faith. The elders there are what you can call, in the Greek, they call presbyteros. That's P-R-E-S-B-U-T-R-O-S. They spoke. Because these elders, are they the prophets of chapter 1 verse 1? Come on now. Good. So, it's not that they obtained a witness, it's that they bore a witness. So, King James is wrong. And several other translations like that. Because martyrio is a verb. Something that you do. So, they witnessed well. Good report. They witnessed well of Christ's coming. By faith. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Now watch this now. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. Now hold on now. through faith. Whose faith have we been discussing since verse 1? Since chapter 10. The faith of those who believe in Christ's coming. So by faith, they expected Christ. Come on. By faith, they did not draw back. By faith, they gave a good report about who? Okay, right. So by faith, we understand that the world there cannot be universe. Is the word aion. A-I-O-N. It means cycle of time. Cycle of time or events. By faith, we understand that the events, activities, aion, the cycle of time were framed. We'll look at the word framed in a moment. But by the word of God. Who spoke the word? They or God? Rhema or God? By faith, the words were framed by what they said. Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 11:1. By what they said. Because they were given a good report. So the walls were framed, that is the cycle of times, were framed by the things that they said. Pay attention now. Remember in this study, if you're just joining us today, you're probably behind time. Remember in this study we said that in Hebrews 1, when he says, where he upheld all things by the word of his power, we said the word of his power will refer to words spoken by who? The prophets. Remember that? Remember that. Very good. So, here, the word of God here refers to the reports that these folks gave. Because they spoke to the fathers. Are you there? Come on guys, are you there? They spoke to the fathers. The rhema, he uses the word rhema. He says, the walls were framed. Now the word framed here, I need your attention now. It means to join something together, to prepare it. Or to restore. To join something together. To prepare it or restore. It's the word katartizo. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. Pay attention now. So, look up. Let's do some thinking. We said the word worlds is cycle of time. That means, let me have four people. Come on. Four. Okay, five. Come up. Alright, good. Alright, one more. Alright, good. We have five people here. This is Abel. Short one. Enoch. Stay around, please. Noah. Abraham and Sarah. Nothing intended. Just... So, through faith of, come, sir, you be Christ. Just stay there. You are Christ. Just stay where you are. He's Christ. We all have faith. He's coming. So, through faith, we understand that the cycle of times were joined together. You hear it? He lived in his own time. His own time. His own time. They, their own time. You know, this is just a figure of speech, all right? So, his time, his time, his time, they are joined together by faith in who? Sensible? Is it clear? Sit down. Thank you. The walls were framed, joined together by the things that they said. That means there was a common denominator in what they were saying. Is that clear? Is that clear? That through faith, that's Christ. And then the four. Abel. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, their walls were framed together. That is, they were joined together by the common faith that they all had. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So through faith we understand that the walls were framed. So the word there's katartizo. It means to join something together, to prepare it, or to make it fit. So Abel's time and Enoch's time were not fit by the houses they lived, by the clothes they wore, by the kids they had, or the lands they lived in, but they are joined by the faith they had. Does it make sense now? The walls were framed by the word of God, okay, the words which they spoke, so that the things which they said
which they, or sorry, the things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear. That is why we can see an ark with Noah, we're getting there in a moment, and see an escape of Enoch, and a child by Abraham, a land by Abraham, a child by Sarah, then we see Isaac in the land, Jacob also with in another foreign land, and we saw Moses. Yeah, the things that we saw were not the things that they believed in. Praise the Lord. So you could get lost in the history and miss the revelation. That's what he's saying. That the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. Let me just talk to you briefly about that. When he uses the word seen, the first seen, it's the word to become clear, it's the word final. P-H. Oh man, I'm sorry for that. The word seen is the word blepo. B-L-E-P-O. The things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, things that were not clear. Things that were unseen. Since their faith is in an action not seen. So their faith wasn't in an ark or having a child. No. Their faith was in Christ's action, which was yet to be seen. So he now began to start from the people, the prophets, the elders. Then he says, by faith, he says, Abel. He says, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Notice the word speaketh. Follow through. Look at Enoch. Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death. He wasn't found, but because God had translated him before his testimony, he had this testimony, again, words, that he pleased God. Then he says, Abraham, which is my focus today. Go back to Abraham. Abraham, verse 8. When he was called to go out of a place, which also was for inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Then he says about Abraham, don't forget, Abraham was a prophet. Then he says, Abraham, in verse 10, he looked for a city which had foundations, which builder and maker is who? God. Did you find that city in Genesis? No. Was the city Canaan? No. Whose builder and maker, he says, is God. Then he says about him, look at verse 13. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced, and confessed that they were what? And pilgrims were? Was Canaan on earth? Huh? Was Canaan on earth? So was Canaan the promise? No. So the things that were made, were seen, were not made of things which do appear. You could get lost about Canaan and forget that these guys confessed that the blessing was not Canaan. That the promise wasn't Canaan. So look at this. Look at verse 32 quickly. We'll get back in here. Verse 32. What shall I say more? For time will fail me. Wow. To tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson. Imagine Samson. You like Samson? Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, the time will fail me. What time he used there is chronos, to put it in a mode of order. It says the prophets. So he called everybody he spoke about here from verse 4, prophets. That is the prophets. He called all of them prophets. That's the word. And of that is the prophet. They are prophets. Why? They are prophets because they are spokespersons of God. Of what God will do in Christ, which he has done. In 1 Peter chapter 1. So, Abraham was not an actor. Not just a historical figure. Or Abel. Or Enoch. Or Noah. They were prophets.
people that testify about Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come to you. Was Abraham a part of this? Huh? Was Abraham a part of this? Was Abraham a part of this? What about Noah? Yeah, he was. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, alright, did signify, the word dilo, we explained that the other time, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and what? Testify beforehand means to witness something before it happened. To act like you saw it happen. That's faith. Abraham had that. Abel had that. Noah had that. Enoch had that. And all, he called them on all the prophets. So they testified. Things that they saw by faith, but you couldn't see by the natural senses in their stories. So we can not, can we find their faith in their deeds or their words? Both, actually. Their words first, then how they acted. Can we find their faith in things they owned or things they expected? Oh, talk to me now. Things they owned or things they expected? Thank you very much. So the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. Enoch, Noah, Abel. Look at chapter 11 again. Hebrews. Verse 6. For by faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, I thought you were going to say no. Because it's impossible to please God was not there. I read it deliberately. Hallelujah. I read deliberately. By faith, it's impossible to what? To please who? Him is italicized. So King James feels it pleases God. I'm not King James. By faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You don't get faith. That's more legalistic than any other thing. We just read their faith was a substance of what? Things hope. Evidence of things not. Alright? So, by faith, it's impossible to please. Please who? Hallelujah. The word there has to do with the word acceptable. Euristos. Euristos. Acceptable. We're going to explore that word next week. Acceptable. Acceptable for what? Before God? Because of what he said in verse 5, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Who gave the testimony? Who gave the testimony? Enoch himself. So we're about to explore what it means. He that cometh to God, he says, shall believe, or must believe, that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. You know, you can leave this out of context and it becomes something else. But if you had read it from chapter 10 down to chapter 11 and 12, you would not think he's talking about a requirement before God. It's not a requirement. Because what he's talking about here was the fact that they testify of God. He is not in any way putting kudos on anybody. He is acknowledging the witness that they gave of God in Christ. The moment your mind goes to the parties and not to the subject matter, you will miss everything that was being said. Because the entire Hebrews 11 was about Jesus. Praise the Lord. What about Jesus? He that will come will come. So watch this now. We'll look at that. Look at Hebrews. I put a note here. I want to find out why I did. Alright. Look at Hebrews 13:16. That same word, huaristos. I just want to give you that so you think about it. I'd like you to go home and think. He says in Hebrews 13:16, he's talking about doing good. To do good and communicate, that is to give, to be kind to others. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Is it God accepting the sacrifices? Or God being shown well with what you have done? Huh? If I do good, is it God who receives it? Okay, that's fine. Or I have shown him well? Huh? Remember, this is my beloved son in whom I am well. We explained that. I am well spoken of. Is it clear? So, in my sacrifices and kindness, who am I speaking well of? So, Hebrews 11:6, why am I going too fast? Okay, anyway, I'll give you something to think about. Could Hebrews 11:6 be by faith, it's impossible to speak well of God? Talking about the Old Testament fellow? Because what he was talking about was speaking about God by faith. I'm giving no answers yet. But think about it. Because he says here, in my sacrifices, now, they speak well of God. When I do good, God is not taking sacrifices. Alright? No, he's not taking sacrifices for me. He has offered Christ once and for all. And that example now causes me to do good to others. So in that sacrifice of doing good, who is being spoken well of? Why? Because he laid that example by giving us his son. Who's following what I'm saying in here? Alright, so look at that. Then go to Hebrews 11:6 and we'll talk about it next week. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? Alright, let's move further. So, Hebrews 11, get back in there. Now we'll talk about Abraham now. Abraham, by faith, verse 8, verse 9 says, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which built, which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, he says, Sarah received strength herself to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she had passed age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Promised a child or promised Christ? Huh? What? Oh my, you, what? Child? So was a child things hoped for? Things not seen? No. You don't lose this one now. She judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Let's take 13 now. Come on, let's take 13 together. Let's read it together. These all died in faith. Okay, hold on. So if they did not receive the promise, was Isaac the promise? Abba. We started from verse 1. That was clear enough. What is that? Let's go on. But I've been seen him afar off. Go on. And we're persuaded. Everybody, let's go. Embrace them and confess that they were what? Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they what? Is Abel part of this? Is Abel part of this? Noah, Enoch, Abraham. Go on. Let's go. We're not done. 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them what? Isaac? Canaan? The ark? No. Are you still there? Is it clear? If you stick with Isaac, that means you have lost your touch with their faith. If you're still looking at the ark, you've lost touch with their faith. Last week we said, remember, that the ark of Noah didn't save anybody. Can you remember that? That it was the word that he said. Was it last week? What's last week? Yeah. So, by faith, they sojourned. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promises, when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise up, even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in a figure. So he went on and on. Now let's pay attention to something that you mustn't lose sight of, so that you get what is going on here. Look at, we're going to read 23 together. Are you ready? Till verse 30. Let's go. By faith, I'll wait for you. Everybody, let's go. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was he 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were okay. But 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26, seeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the presence in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for endured, as seeing him who is what? Through faith, go on, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he... So whose faith are we discussing? A person, not the nation. Come on. Okay, look at verse 29 now. By faith, they passed through. Uh-huh. By whose faith? By whose faith, 29? Thank you. Oh, go on. Uh-huh. So, verse 30. So, what was kept from verse 29 to verse 30? 40 years. The law wasn't of faith. He moved from the fact after they crossed the sea 40 years after. He's kept 40 years. Why? Because it's called the day of provocation, when they doubted the gospel. Who's following this at all? You can't say by faith they gave the temple, or by faith they gave the law. That's not by faith. That's the word spoken by angels. Was steadfast. And every transgression received a just recompense of reward. Because the law is not the gospel. Who's following this at all? So, he skipped 40 years. Because the 40 years, he said, they departed from the living God. The gospel preached unto them was not mixed with faith. So they provoked the gospel, or provoked God in that sense, for 40 years. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? But we had Joshua. We had Moses. We also had Caleb. But many who passed through the sea, they enjoyed the miracles. But he didn't have faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you study that story and you're particular about them passing through the sea, eating manna, you just lost sight of faith in Christ. Who's following what I'm saying in here? You're carried away. Because the things that were seen were not made of things which do appear. So you can see that the gospel is scattered amidst men's unbelief, their perception of God. In the middle of that, you find destruction of people's lives. And the gospel is not in that. The integrity of the word of God is not in that. The integrity of the word of God is whatever he said he will do in Christ. Or through Christ. And so, let's point out something quickly. So Moses, let's look at something. Verse 29, 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and a sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Who destroyed the firstborn? God? No. That's not God. Should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, and which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Why did they drown? Have you wondered why? Did God drown them? No. If somebody, for example, goes to the Third Mainland Bridge. Okay, let's look at the Atlantic Ocean, the very beginning. Then he says, he wants to walk through it. Then he walks through it. Then he perishes in there. Who perished him? He perished himself. He has no tools to separate it. He has nothing to keep the sea open for himself. So here's Moses, by faith, he opened the sea. Then they passed through, by faith. And they are coming. We can do it. And then they go in, and it closes upon them. Did God kill them? Huh? No. They committed a mutual suicide. The Jews, if you were a Jew, for example, and you were late, or you had to watch a Chelsea game. Get used to this one. We just started. You had to watch a Chelsea game, and you're also a Red Devil, and then you had to wait behind, and then you found yourself in the chariot of the Egyptians. And so as Moses stretched forth his hand and passed, and you were in the chariot, would you have perished with them? Yes. You follow what I'm saying in here? You know, they are saying, they're trying to cross the sea. They wouldn't have died if they stayed over and just said, oh, those guys are gone. That God is so powerful. They said, what is the big deal? Let's pass through. You shouldn't be stupid enough when the sea is split into two. It doesn't happen every day. You go in there and then you are destroyed. You perish in there because of doubt. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they were compassed for 7 days. By faith, the Alot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had perceived or received the spies with peace. Now, as you go on, pay attention to something. You will see something that is unique here. He now talked about all the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, and they might obtain a better resurrection. 36. Others at trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they worried about the sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Have you observed that he never said by faith they killed anybody? Did you observe that? That it separated all the actions. You say, what? You just say, hello, letter of Hebrews. Which part of the Bible are you reading from? What about David brought down Goliath? What are the battle of? He doesn't say that bad thing. Praise the Lord. He said, you know, it's the same way you read about all them Old Testament people, and then you wonder, which Abraham are we talking about? The guy that had like, how many women again? I've lost count. Really? David? David? In other words, what they have done is to look at the diverse manners and the diverse times. Hallelujah. The diverse manners and the diverse times. The same way you go in the Old Covenant and the sins of the Old Testament saints were not mentioned. All the killings and murders were not mentioned. Hallelujah. They were not by faith. Praise God. Pastor, are you saying David killing Goliath was not by faith? No. Because faith is about Christ. Christ gives life. Praise the Lord. Again? Christ gives life. So the integrity of the Word of God, get it? Is in what was said about Christ. Is not what was done on behalf of God or putting God's name on it. Look at the word subdued kingdoms. The word subdued kingdoms in the Greek there is to struggle against. Then they began to talk about persecutions. Some were killed, some escaped, received the dead, raised to life again. And in verse 38, let's take verse 38 together. Of whom the world was not worthy. Come on, everybody, let's go. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, caves of the earth. 39 together. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Verse 40, let's go. God hath provided some better for us, that they without us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was everything they did by faith? Was everything they did in the Old Covenant by faith? No. You can only trace faith to Christ Jesus. Faith in God. That's what you can do. Say they didn't receive the promise. No, they didn't. They didn't. So, you could read things in the Old Covenant and say, you have done it before. The great God, you are the same God. Do your study very well, though. You will not hold him responsible for what he hasn't done through faith in Christ. You can't hold him responsible. Hallelujah. He's not responsible. That's not what he said. What he said is what Christ owns. Christ is not an afterthought. Christ is the thought. Christ is a revelation of God's faith. It's in Christ that we see what to believe for. So if today you believe for someone to die because of a text in the Old Testament, you are not putting faith in God. You might put faith in an angel. But if you put faith, allow me to use that word loosely, in what God has done in Christ or revealed in Christ, then that is the integrity of the word, the integrity of what God has said that you are putting faith in. Hallelujah. Still out there? Look at Hebrews 6. So, the integrity of the Word of God is God's faithfulness to what was said about Jesus. Remember? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am properly spoken of. Well spoken of. My beloved Son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And see, that's why some folks, you know, they say, are you now saying we should ignore the Old Testament? Nope. Why should you ignore the Old Testament? The Old Testament was where the promise was made. We can't ignore the Old Testament, but we must study it well. And do it properly. So when I read some of the Old Testament, I say, is this found in Christ? If it's not found in Christ, it's not found in God, then I can't hold God responsible for its fulfillment. Let me see your hand if you understand what I'm saying in here. I can't hold God for its fulfillment. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6. You learning something? You learning something here? Come on, guys. You learning something? Hebrews 6. So. There you go. Verse 13. For when God had made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will. Now, remember we said in verse 12, through faith and patience inherit the promises. We said the faith is the what? Remember that. The faith is the patience. Because they waited. Their faith is patience. Their faith is hope. And the promises, or the promise instead, is not giving him a son. Giving him a son, or his son he had, that's Isaac, was to mirror what God will do in Christ. And we're going to explore that, you know, next week as well. So, he says, he waited. So what God gave in Christ, what God said in Christ, is integrity put to test. What he said in Christ. That's his integrity put to test. So the faith of the Old Testament brother back then was to hope that what God said will happen. So after they acquired things, they said, this is not it. Praise God. And they said, we are strangers and pilgrims in here. After Isaac was born, Abraham knew this is not it. And so to show Isaac what it was, remember I said it last week, he takes Isaac to Mount Moriah. Can you remember that last week? Can you remember that last week? Then he said, watch this. And the guy asks, where is the lamb? Where is the... He said, God himself will what? What's he doing? He's prophesying. He's bearing good witness of God. Are you getting this at all? He said, Isaac's alright. Then they saw a lamb. Then he said, I call this Jireh. That is, the Lord is seen. Not Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is seen. That means, we see or we foresee what God will do. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Because he was a prophet. And he saw it. That was his day. Praise the Lord. Did Abraham see it by faith? Yes. And God himself will provide a lamb. Has he done it? Has he done it? So, was that the promise he gave Abel? Noah? Enoch? Abraham? Come on, talk to me. Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Jephthah, Samuel, David, Barak, Samson. That's why Samson was that bold. God himself will provide. But for 40 years, Israel was the ones providing. And so it wasn't mentioned in Hebrews 11 because they were the ones providing. Providing sacrifice, bringing meat and offering, wasting their time. God himself will provide. In the integrity of God's word, he will do what he said he will do. When he does it, we'll only receive it. We'll do nothing. Just like those guys, they did nothing but just expect it. We do nothing but just believe it has what? Happened. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, God's word was a promise. Today, it is done. Praise God. It is done. What effect does this have on my life today? We'll explore it next week. This is what makes the word of God reliable. That the word of God cannot fail. Why? Because it hasn't failed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts 13. You learning something? So the promise in Christ,
when he rose from the dead, is not the greatest promise of God. It is the promise of God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it's like a race. It's like a race. Oh, let's do something else. This belongs to an enemy, but for the sake of this reference, let's just talk about it. Man City. Oh, gosh. All right, Man City won the English Premiership League, Premiership 5 games. See, I said it in silence. But the point is, you don't say tomorrow, Man City will win the league. No. Man City has won the league. So what happens is the benefits of winning is what they now need to take a hold of and enjoy the spoils. But they've won. God's word doesn't work. It has worked. So I am who he says I am. I will not be. I am. Abraham wanted to be hope. Now I am. Hallelujah. So what we have now is not an invoice. We have the receipt. It's done. So what is in the receipt? What was in it? What does it entail? Look at Acts 13. Are you learning something? Acts 13. Oh, I love this. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise, which was made unto the fathers. Can we take the 33 together? God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written. Are you there? The second son, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He went on and on. You know, he spoke about David. He said, David served God. He died. 36. He's laid under the with the fathers. He saw corruption. But whom God raised up again saw no corruption. Be known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man. Hallelujah. He's preached unto you what? Forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the word doesn't work. The word has worked. We have the receipt today. It's in our hands. The epistle is a receipt. What I find in the epistles is the integrity of God's word confirmed. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. And I can do what he says I can do. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, then we close on that one. Don't miss next week Sunday. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 14. For if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching nothing. And also your faith nothing. It means nothing. Hallelujah. Everything is in Christ. Fulfillment. 17. If Christ be not raised, he says your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. But glory to God, I'm not in my sins. My faith is working. My faith is working because the word has worked and the word cannot fail. Why can't the word fail? Because the word has worked. Hallelujah. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. And I say, he has promised he will never fail. I will follow him. No, he has promised and he did not fail. Hallelujah. That is why you are able to do. No. For we know you have done all you said you will do. That is why you are called. We are not expecting God to do what He said. We're expecting to walk in what He has done. But we're in Christ today. We're in Him justified. He is in us glorified. The word has worked. God's integrity confirmed. Hallelujah. You bless this morning.